بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم فاعل بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, we have a beautiful section today. We're going to wrap up the story of Sayyidina Salih alayhi salam, the Prophet Salih alayhi salam, which we spoke about last time. We introduced the people of Thamud, and we spoke about the profile or the character of Salih alayhi salam, and exactly how is he connected to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. And so there are three connections with him, and from my humble estimation. So the first one we spoke about last time was that Salih alayhi salam was a young man full of promise. Right, he's coming to the people of Thamud, and so the people of Thamud are looking very optimistically at Salih alayhi salam and saying that this boy will be the one to lead our community. The same way we look at our youth, and we think that our youth will be the ones to guide the next generation and to take care of everything after we go. But once he became a prophet and he opposed the ways of the people and his culture, then you saw that people started to hate him and people started to reject the things that Salih alayhi salam was saying, and they started to say that Salih used to be such a good boy, full of promise before this. What happened? You know, and then they came up with a reason saying that our forefathers don't worship, you know, you're telling us to abandon the way of our forefathers. So what we're learning from Salih alayhi salam though is, and this is what's required of everyone, to accept the truth, okay? Even if it means that the people around us become uncomfortable. And we stress this point that the youth are the ones that have the energy with them and the motivation and the determination to change the world around them, if they want to become people who accept the truth and follow the truth for what it is. Even if it means that people around us don't seem to like us anymore. Because why? Because that would mean we're lying to ourselves. And that's the thing about Islam, is that everything in Islam makes so much rational sense. It would make sense. Everything we're saying here, everything we've been saying since Ramadan has begun. We're studying the Quran. The Quran is a book that makes sense. And so if we don't want to follow the Quran, we're just going to lie to ourselves. We're going to live a dream. Pretend like this is not what life is about. The Quran speaks about life and the reality of life. And so that's why we as people who are studying it and listening to this tafsir, we're being honored by Allah Ta'ala, because now we're thinking about life and what it really means. So Salih alayhi salam is teaching us all this. And so Salih alayhi salam gives them, and again, it's not just he's speaking, you know, just follow me blindly. He gives them a sound reminder. The logic makes sense. Says, you want me to worship what your fathers are worshiping? Are you serious? What about your father's father? What about your father's father's father? What about your forefather, the father of all fathers, Adam alayhi salam, the first father? Allah Ta'ala brought him out of the earth. Allah brought your forefathers out of the earth. Allah brought all of us out of the earth. It will only make sense if we give our lives to him. Why would I give it to an idol which you made out of the ground, whereas Allah made you out of the ground? It doesn't make any sense. So he goes and reminds him about this, that idol worship makes absolutely no sense if we're looking at it anyway. And he tells the people of Thamud, as you remember, that they're spending their times building their massive, massive buildings that we spoke about last time within mountains and rocks. They're carving these huge homes within them. And Salih alayhi salam reminded them, saying that you're not going to live here forever. Is this really the purpose of what we're here for? Is this why Allah has sent us in this world? Or did he make us in this world so we can cultivate it and make it into a better place? That's what Salih alayhi salam was reminding him about. Okay. And so this is just, by the way, anything I'm speaking about here, it is the religion of the prophets since the time of Adam alayhi salam. This is the Ten Commandments of Musa alayhi salam, the Ten Commandments of Moses. In the Exodus, it says what? I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Okay, this is point number one. I'm not going to quote all Ten Commandments here. Don't have the time for that. Second point is what? You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, okay? And that is in the water or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. So every single message of all the prophets, really, the messages of all the prophets are the same consistent message. Since the time of Adam alayhi salam, to Nuh alayhi salam, to Hud, to Salih, to Ibrahim, to Yaqub, you know, to every single prophet we're talking about, they all came with the same message. And this is the way that we know Islam is the truth, because it is the same message from the beginning. It hasn't changed. There's no different religion for any one of them. They all follow the same, they follow the same Lord, the same Master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is as a side point, okay? So this is one way, again, that Salih alayhi salam resembles the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, We're going to go to the next two ways now, inshallah. Okay, it's the next two, next couple of ayat. وَيَا قَوْمِ هَذِهِ نَاقَةُ اللَّهِ لَكُمْ آيَةً فَذَرُوهَا تَأْكُلْ فِي الْأَرْضِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَمَسُّوهَا بِسُوءٍ فَيَأْخُذُكُمْ عَذَابٌ قَرِيبٌ. Ayah number 64 reads what? It has a unique message. It says, oh people, this is the camel of Allah. So what is the story? What is the background? This is probably the only time I'm going to do this. I normally don't like to, because I like to just study the ayah itself. And let's see what the ayah is telling us, right? Work, look at the words, look at the meanings, right? And then pull it out. Every single word of the Quran is a gem amongst gems, right? It is a beautiful word that was chosen over thousands of words. And so when you look at that one word, you can get so many meanings, right? So, but just to give you some background about the camel of Salih alayhi salam. So the people of Salih alayhi salam grew tired of his call. They say that Salih alayhi salam started to give da'wah to his people at age 40, and he continued to give da'wah for decades. And so the days went by, years went by, Salih alayhi salam started to get gray hairs and everything. People started to get tired of what he was calling towards. So Salih alayhi salam, they asked him and said, Thamud asked Salih, said, oh Salih, we want a sign from you. Make a she camel come out of this rock. The rocks, the boulder's name was Katiba. We have such a documentation of this, even the name of the boulder, we have it, which is Katiba. They said, we want you to take this rock Katiba, and we want you to make a camel come out of it. If you're really a prophet, then make this miracle happen. Okay? So there are two ways to explain what the heck was Thamud asking about. Thamud is either saying that number one is that, oh Salih, if you're saying what you're saying, then make this outrageous thing happen. It's absolutely outrageous. No one ever thinks this could ever happen in the world. So let's see it. If you're truly a prophet, make your God, ask your God and see if something will come out of this rock, right? And the second thing is that maybe Thamud wasn't the brightest people in the world, you know? I mean, if you can ask your prophet for anything, why would you ask him to make a she camel come out of the rock? You know, I would ask for gold and silver. Allah knows best. So having said that, they were clearly trying to make a mockery about what Salih alayhi salam was trying to provide for the world. So Salih alayhi salam took multiple promises. Keep this in mind. Salih alayhi salam took multiple promises and made multiple pacts with them, saying, Wallahi, will you believe? You swear by Allah that you'll believe. And each one of them said it and they confirmed it. They said, yes, by God, by Allah, we will believe in anything you say, Salih. After this, we will believe in you, we'll make you a prophet. So Salih alayhi salam, so after they said yes, Salih alayhi salam goes to perform two rakats. And this is, by the way, another way that we know Islam is the religion for all of human beings, because of the fact that the Prophet's prayers were all the same too. Okay. So in any case, he performs two rakats and he says, oh Allah, for you nothing is difficult. Let the demand be fulfilled. Let the demand be fulfilled. So when Salih alayhi salam asks Allah Ta'ala, what do you think happens? A camel bursts out of the mountain. Extraordinary, just out of nowhere. Okay, they asked for a she camel and they wanted it to be a pregnant she camel. So to prove that the pregnant she camel was a pregnant she camel, right after it comes out, it gives birth. It's literally double what they asked for. So Allah Ta'ala gave them a double miracle. Because why? Because Allah Ta'ala is full of barakah, right? Allah Ta'ala is mubarak. So when Allah Ta'ala gives you, it's full of barakah, right? So things will always just be multiplied or more blessed, right? Things will just have more behind it. So here, when they asked for one, Allah Ta'ala gave them two. Double what they asked for. So at this moment, after you've seen a camel come out of the mountain, exactly what you asked for, and thereafter Allah Ta'ala gives you more than what you asked for, what should the people do? They should accept the man in front of them to be a prophet of Allah. That he can make, Allah Ta'ala can make the dead into and bring it to life. That we were once part of the soil and Allah Ta'ala brought us out of the soil. Oh people, just believe. Just believe. And to give Thamud credit, some of them did believe. And the rest of them broke their pact with Salih. They said, nope, he's a magician. Nope, he's a magician. Okay? So now Salih alayhi salam sees this. Now mind you, people are not allowed to, in terms of a rule, if you're talking about the rules, the sunnah, the way that Allah has made the world and the test that he's made the world, one of the rules is that you're not allowed to ask your prophet for a miracle or for a sign, okay? If you were to ask your prophet for a miracle or a sign, the danger is that now the test is over, because now, because you've seen Allah's power directly, the test in this world is what? You believe in Allah Ta'ala indirectly, you just look at everything around you, and in your heart, you come to the conclusion that there is one Lord to worship, and that's what I'm here for, that's my purpose in life. But the moment that you say to Allah, and you say, Allah, give me down the sign, I want a clear sign, I want a clear proof that you are the Lord, you are the master, and he gives you a miracle, which breaks reality. Now there's no other explanation. Science is not going to get you anywhere anymore with this question. There's no more explanations now. The only explanation is that God exists and Allah is real. And at that moment, the test is considered finished. Now you have to believe. So Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is worried to death now, because now his people are supposed to believe, but they're not believing. So Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees this and he tells them something out of worry and concern, because he knows the sunnah of Allah. He knows exactly what Allah will do, because of the fact that they're rejecting the sign of Allah Ta'ala after it came clear to everyone now for them to see. So he says to them, can you just leave it alone then? Can you just leave it alone then? And he goes and says, وَيَا قَوْمِ هَذِهِ نَاقَةُ اللَّهِ لَكُمْ آيَةً. He says, oh my people, this is the she-cam of Allah, a sign for you. You asked for it, this is your special sign. Nuh didn't get it, Hud didn't get it, Ibrahim doesn't get it, Musa doesn't get it, no other prophet gets it, no other people get it. You guys, you asked for it, this is for you. You know, this is special for you, specially made from Allah, just for you. فَذَرُوهَا. So he said, leave it alone. تَأْكُلْ, leave her free. تَأْكُلْ فِي أَرْضِ اللَّهِ, to eat on the land of Allah. Don't touch it, don't mess with it, don't do anything. So what is the rule here? This is the very important, and what is being addressed here? How is this connected to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? You might be asking yourself. This is a very important desire of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being addressed here. What is the desire of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? The desire of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the same desire of the people of Salih, or the, of Salih Alaihi Wasallam rather, is that if I give them what they demand, will they believe? If you probably notice throughout the Quran, there are passages where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is thinking about, or Allah Ta'ala highlights where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is thinking, maybe an angel comes down with me, or maybe a treasure comes with me, or maybe if I turn this to gold and silver, or maybe if I split the moon, you know, these types of things. If they're demanding all this stuff, if it comes at the cost of them believing, then why not? If at the end, you know, they believe, then what, you know, what's the harm? So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is given the story of Salih Alaihi Wasallam to show him about what happened to a people that they received what they demanded. They still argue even after they received the sign. Right before this, we had the discussion, right? Salih Alaihi Wasallam is talking to his people, and he is speaking about the power of Allah, and he's speaking about the proofs of why to worship Allah Ta'ala alone. After they received the camel, brothers and sisters. This is after they received the camel. So literally after they received the sign of Allah Ta'ala, they're still debating with him, saying, we don't really know if you're speaking the truth or not. Just reminding the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that look, it's not a question about people receiving what they want in life, and then that will make them into believers. People must think for themselves about the bigger questions of life. Where did I come from? What am I doing here? And where am I going? These are the big questions that everyone needs to ask themselves. Forget about mother and father, brother and sister, family, khandan, doesn't matter about anything else. Where am I going in life? What am I doing in life? That is the big question. Who am I living for? Who am I not living for? These are the questions we need to address in our lives. It should not be about anything else. And so if we can, and so the Prophet is being told, look, you can give the Quraysh, the people of Makkah, a million miracles. You can split the moon in front of them. Water can gush out of your fingertips. And these are all miracles of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Things that can happen right before their very eyes. Yet they're not going to believe unless they want themselves to believe. If they're arrogant and stubborn, it doesn't matter what proofs you bring. People out of emotion will never follow you. So what happened to the people of Salih? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, look, leave it alone. Let it eat in the land of Allah. So don't touch it. So what frustrated the people of Salih, the people of Thamud, right? So look, since you asked for the sign, you're going to have to give it right. If they give it right, what is the right of the sign of Allah Ta'ala on the world? Is that it will take one of your days for drinking water. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that now, since you asked for the sign of Allah, give it its due in the world. What is his right in the world? That one day in the week, you know, you'll take turns. You'll alternate. One day of the week, the camel will drink. And one day of the week, the animals will drink. What, you know, your animals, your livestock, everything. And so at the well, you'd only see in one day, the camel of Salih alayhi salam will go and drink, and then it'll leave, okay? And so understand this though, by the way, that although it takes that one day to drink the water, in return, on that day, they can drink from the milk of the Mubarak, the blessed camel of Allah, okay? I'm going to tell you, like, if you're thinking Zamzam is an extraordinary drink, because why? Because Ismail alayhi salam, the Prophet Ismail, struck his foot on the ground and this water burst forward, right? It's this miraculous well in Zamzam in Mecca, right? And you're thinking, how extraordinary is that water? I'm telling you, man, if this is an animal which Allah designed, it came out of a mountain, for God's sakes. This milk is going to be extraordinary. Hey, forget about whatever you get, your Wegmans drinks and milks and stuff like that. Look, drink this. You'll probably never be thirsty ever again. So in any case, so Salahism says this is the trade. You'll get that one day and you'll get the blessed drink of this camel. And at the same time, also the same for grazing. This camel will go out and graze one day and your animals will graze the other day. Okay, it's a fair thing. Look, you ask for the sign of Allah, now respect the sign. The sign is that now you give up some of your world. You'll provide for this. You'll care for this. You'll nurture this. Because it is the sign of Allah Ta'ala. And there's absolutely no loss here. Before anything else, there's no loss here. I just told you that first and foremost, if you're smart enough, you just take more for the next day. If you're going to enjoy, then might as well just take a little bit of water for the next day. And that's one thing. If you want to talk about water, just take more water for the next day. And secondly, they literally filled their vessels. This camel was so blessed. It could produce so much milk that the entire nation of Thamud would have enough for all of their containers. Not just for them to drink on the day, but for their containers. This is extraordinary. So in terms of there's no loss, absolutely no loss. But most importantly, what Salih alayhi salam highlighted for them, فَذَرُوهَا تَأْكُلْ فِي أَرْضِ اللَّهِ. It's not your land, Thamud. It's Allah's land. If Allah wants this camel to drink from here, who has any right to say that Allah's camel cannot drink? It's Allah's land. Why would you ever make a fight or a fuss that if we're going to build something for Allah, how could you ever start this argument? Oh, we don't know. Oh, we don't this and that. Oh, you know, we might not have enough money and things like that. It's Allah's. It's Allah's. You know, why would you even have this argument in the first place? All of our sadaqat, our hasanat, you know, everything that we're doing in life, you know, this all belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of our wealth belongs to Allah. So we need to provide for these places. There should never be a question about these things. وَلَا تَمَسُّوهَا بِسُوءٍ. So Sahihism says, number one, let it eat whatever, let it drink whatever, and do not touch her with any evil. Don't even get near it, don't even come near it with any evil intention. When he warns them, فَيَأْخُذَكُمْ عَذَابٌ قَرِيبٌ. Or else an imminent, a close, a dangerous punishment should seize you. It's going to come and take you without you even realizing it. Salih alayhi salam mentioned something very important for everyone to recognize and understand, that the immediate punishment in this life is not only connected to disbelief, but disrespect. Note this, that Salih alayhi salam's people lived after the message came down, right? That the sign came down from Allah, and now mashallah, they're able to live in the world. They're still able to function. Everything's still fine. There's no punishment. But as soon as they disrespect the sign of Allah Ta'ala in the world, then what happens is now the punishment of Allah Ta'ala becomes certain. Salih alayhi salam warned them and says that now that you have a clear, direct sign from God, you're no longer allowed to disrespect it anymore. This is the warning to Salih alayhi salam's people. So now we have to connect this to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I told you the story is all connected to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One thing was the youth of Salih, that he was a young man. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a young man, age 40, right? We talked about that last time. Now what is the camel? It is a sign from Allah. What is the Quran? It is a sign from Allah. Do you get my point? The point is this, and it's what they wanted. If you're going to say, oh, no, but the camels that the people of Samud, they declared it. He said, bring us the camel. They didn't ever ask for the Quran. No, they did ask for the Quran. In the Quran itself, or you say it's in Surah Al-An'am, if only the scripture had been revealed to us. The people of Makkah, they were people that were in the desert, right? They see the Jews and the Christians in Medina and different areas of the Arabian Peninsula, right? They see all these different things, these people with scripture. With people with books. And they said to Allah, they said, if only the scripture was revealed to us, we would have been way better than these people. The people of Makkah, the Arabs are saying, if only a book was revealed to us, we'd be better than everyone else in the world. We'd be more guided than them. So then Allah says, so now a clear evidence has come to you from your Lord and a guidance and a mercy. You've received all this stuff from Allah Ta'ala. So now what happens is what? Whose then is more unjust than the one who denies the verses of Allah and turns away from them? So the people of Samud, they asked for a camel, they got it. The people of Makkah, they asked for a book, Allah Ta'ala gave it. So what's the problem here? Now, if you decide to say that, no, we're not going to respect this book. We're going to kill the messenger. Anytime this book is read to us, we're going to put our fingers in our ears, put our hoods on and walk in the other direction. We're going to pretend like this man doesn't even exist anymore. Call him a madman, call the book, call it magic, call it this, call it that. What happens if you decide otherwise? This is the part next. This is the reminder for the people of Makkah. And I'm telling you this beforehand because it's going to get graphic, okay? And it's going to be terrible and sad what happens at the end. I shed a tear today just studying it and reminding myself about what happens when people, they receive the message of Allah Ta'ala and they receive what Allah Ta'ala wanted them to receive in the world, right? This beautiful message, this book. And then at the end, they say, no, no, we don't want it. And as a reminder for myself as a Muslim, please, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah Ta'ala gave us a book of guidance. You have the water that the entire world is thirsty for to drink. And you have it in your hand. You have it in your shelf at home. Yet we don't want to follow this guidance. Why? Because people in our family will start looking at us differently. Because America doesn't like it. Because this, this, and that. What happens when we decide otherwise? Respect this miracle of Allah Ta'ala. فَعَقَرُوهَا فَقَالَ تَمَتَّعُوا فِي دَارِكُمْ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ ذَلِكَ وَعْدٌ غَيْرُ مَكْذُوبٍ. Then they butchered her. They butchered her. The word aqara means to tear something into pieces. Okay? It's used for the word when you're talking about a date palm, you know, a date palm tree. When you cut off the top, you cut off the head of it. So aqaruha, they butchered this camel. They ripped it into pieces. And it's not even an exaggeration. Some people shot it with arrows. Another one sliced its legs off. And then a third person came and did what? His name is Qudad bin Salif. I told you this story has been so well recorded in the books of history. We even have the name of the person who decided to kill the camel ultimately. His name is Qudad, one of the most, the worst miscreants, the worst fajirin in the world. That Qudad comes and chops off his head completely. Straight up, machine slaughter, slices his head off, you know? And so, and then the worst part is, after all of this, some narrations even mention that out of making a joke out of this camel, they decided to take some of the pieces of the meat back home and start to eat from it too. My God, such a tragedy that these people have brought upon their own people. So Salih alayhi salam comes back, he sees that the camel, the blood smeared, everyone has warned him and said that the camel of Allah Ta'ala, immediately after telling them that just leave it alone, don't touch it, you know, be good to it, be nice to it. You know, he sees this and he sees the camel and he starts to cry. He starts to cry. It's mentioned about they either took the, you know, because it was the baby camel too, right? It's either that they took the baby camel and slaughtered it also, or the baby camel started to go to the hill. And it's mentioned that the camel started to speak out and cry in front of Allah. And the translation came that it said that, oh Allah, my mother is gone. Who's there to care for me in the world anymore? And it cried out in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah inspired to Salih alayhi salam. Salih alayhi salam saw what happened and he sees that the blood and the smeared and the meat and the flesh on the ground still. And Salih alayhi salam receives revelation from Allah. It says, قَالَ تَمَتَّعُوا فِي دَارِكُمْ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ. Enjoy yourselves in your homes now for 3 days. You have 3 days left in the world. That is a promise not to be backed out. غَيْرُ مَكْذُوبٍ. This is not a lie. This is not a lie. I would have translated that this is not a lie. He says, this is not a lie. And so Salih alayhi salam says, forget about it. No more discussions, no more talking. Forget about everything else. Okay, let's put ourselves in the lens. Put yourselves in the eyes of Samud real quick. And just think about what the heck is happening to them. Okay, forget about everything else. This man, you know, forget about it being from Allah, being, you know, a camel from Allah, it just came out. This man in front of me, Salih alayhi salam, forget it. If you don't believe in his Lord, you don't believe in his master, no problem. This man right in front of you just brought a living camel out of a rock which was dead. You would clearly tell yourselves that at this moment that this man is promising me, at this moment, he just told me I'm going to die in 3 days. Okay? I don't know the feeling of the people that just heard from this man who just brought out a living camel out of a dead rock. And now he says, congratulations, everyone. Go enjoy yourselves. You have 3 days left in this world to live. Okay, is YOLO? What do we do now? What would you do? If you're just told now, and this is the thing why Allah Ta'ala didn't tell us about our death days, because life would be extremely miserable. Take it as a blessing of God that you and I don't know when we're going to go, because now you can live life normally. If you knew you had a label on the back of your head telling you you're going to die in this day, who could ever live a normal life anymore? The people of Thamud have literally have their death days, their expiration dates written on them now. And now they're so terrified. You think they can enjoy? He said to go enjoy. He's making a joke out of them. You made a joke out of Allah the sign. Congratulations, now you're going to be the joke. It's not even funny anymore. So what happens is what? Some people get so upset, they try to go and kill Salih alayhi salam and his family. They try their best. 9 people come together, say we're going to go and kill Salih alayhi salam. We're going to finish him. They failed. Obviously, you're not going to touch him. He's the messenger of Allah. You're not going to touch the messenger of Allah. Who the heck would ever be able to do that? And others began to panic. It's no longer a joke. It's not funny anymore. It was funny before. It was ha-ha. It was laughter. Let's just make fun of the book. Let's just make fun of the Quran. Yeah, let's just call him magic. Let's just call him a magician. Let's call him pagal, whatever. call them whatever names. It was fun when we didn't realize that, dang, this was actually real. It's all a joke until the punishment will actually descend. So this is a reminder for the people of Makkah. Do you really want this to happen to you? Wake up. Wake up. For ourselves too. What are we doing with our lives? فَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا نَجَّيْنَا صَالِحًا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِنَّا وَمِنْ خِذِي يَوْمِئِذٍ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ الْقَوِيُّ الْعَزِيزُ. So when our command came, we saved Salih and those who believe along with them. Allah Ta'ala highlights first the believers before he talks about the disbelievers. Because the believers are the focus here. It's a reminder to everyone that Salih alayhi salam and the believers will always be saved. They'll always be cared for and taken care of with a special mercy from us. A single mercy of Allah is enough to take people away from the punishment of Allah, to save them from everything that's about to happen in the world. وَمِنْ خِذِّي يَوْمِئِذٍ and from the disgrace of that day. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ الْقَوِيُّ الْعَزِيزُ. Surely your Lord is all-powerful and he's almighty. That disgrace, and so this is the, if they're talking about the connections with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the first one was the fact of the youth of Salih. The second was the fact of the camel being like the Quran. And the third is that the connection is, O Prophet of Islam, don't worry about the people of Makkah. They'll literally stand in front of your door trying to kill you before you leave, but they won't be able to touch you. Okay, this is what happened to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm telling you, like the way the Quran has been designed and built, it's prophesizing. It's telling you what's going to happen in the future. Exactly the way it happened for the people, for Salih Alayhi Wasallam and his believers. It's the same way it happened to Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his followers. They all left Makkah. Can you think about it? The people of Makkah were looking to kill all of them. And yet they all safely escaped. So the same way the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be able to leave with the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Now what happens though is that this is a disgrace. What is a disgrace? The disgrace is that when something was so blaring and so obvious that a person at that moment, they could have avoided everything. They could have just listened to the forecast, turned on the news was warning them about what's going to happen, a tornado is coming, impending doom is coming, and all could have been avoided. But what did people do? Instead of listening to the forecast, they just turned off their TVs. So, I don't want to leave the house. This is shameful and embarrassing. It's so shameful that this is about to happen. وَأَخَذَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا الصَّيْحَةَ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دِيَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ. It said, and those who transgressed were caught by the scream. The word is saiha, okay? And so before I explain what it is, a lot of scholars had a lot of discussion about what it meant by the scream. What is the punishment of Salih alayhi salam's people? The punishment is either the fact that Jibreel alayhi salam came down and screamed. The angel Gabriel comes down and screams, and his voice was so powerful and so resounding that what happens is their hearts and their chest actually exploded out of the deafening sound that came across them. Okay, so it's either the angel came down and caught, and they were caught by that scream, or the fact that there was a huge earthquake in the community. And it could be the fact that the angel came down and then the earthquake happened because of the voice of the angel. But it could also be just the fact that it's just an earthquake. And I find it so interesting that the Quran described an earthquake like screaming. Okay, before I get into the details of it in terms of what it means, I just want you to note something. There are sounds for an earthquake when it's underground. You can see the second paragraph here. In truth, it is difficult to know what earthquakes on the ground sound like because typical seismic waves have frequencies below the audible range for humans, which is between 20 and 20,000 hertz. Now, however, a group of researchers have given voice to one seismic monster and talks about the magnitude 9.0 Tohoku earthquake that happened in Japan. So there was once a time when people didn't know how an earthquake sounded like. And now we have exactly how it sounds like. And I just want to play it for you. I'm just giving you a disclaimer, a big warning right now. Just lower your headphones a little bit, okay? Yeah. I hope that was kind of clear, hopefully, inshallah. But to a certain extent, earthquakes are like thunder. This is what a geophysicist is saying. Something happens and sound waves go out. You know? It's amazing that the Quran, the precision of that word, you know, how could a man in the desert, 7th century Arab, Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, know this, that the earthquake is a sound? And so precise, it's captured by the Quran. They described it like thunder, like a sound wave that's going out. That's one thing in terms of the amazing miracle of the Quran. In terms of what it is, though, how would you describe an earthquake? If I were to ask you, if you were stuck in an earthquake, how would you describe it? What would you say about an earthquake? You know, I don't even think you have enough time to explain it. How could you describe it to me? There's just too much happening. There's too much happening. It's too much chaos. The sensory overload that's happening, or you described it as being having too much noise. It's just too loud. I can't even focus. You're telling me to describe it to you? I can't even focus because of the screaming, the deafening sound around me, the noise that's around me. I can't even say it to you what's happening around me. That's what's happening here. And that's the beautiful way the Quran, I tell you, the word that it chooses is the gem amongst gems. It says that the way that people feel in an earthquake, it feels like it's just a screaming that's happening. And everyone is screaming. There's nothing you can say at that moment. وَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ They were found in their dead in their homes, fallen onto the knees. You know, at the end of life, and I remind myself first and foremost, that at death, everyone submits. You know, life can be a life of fighting against God, fighting against Allah, fighting against ourselves. But at the end of life, everyone will submit to Allah. At the end, they couldn't make, you know, they never bowed to Allah. At the end of life, Allah that made them all bow. And this is a reminder for all of us. كَأَلَّمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا As if they never lived there. You know, the word yaghna, to be ghani, to be rich. As if they never lived there. As if, you know, again, we'll take the word and expand it. As if they were never wealthy. You know, as if they, at the end of life, they look so poor and destitute. There's literally nothing left for them in life. You know, at the end of life, what do we have? Two pieces of cloth. This man has been walking around with his Rolex, driving his Ferrari or his Tesla or whatever. And at the end of life, he's in a small 6 foot, you know, like 6 feet under the ground, such a small little box he's in. Living in such a mansion in life, where does he end up in? As if they were never wealthy, you know, as if we never had anything. Another interpretation is what? Ghina. That as if they never had a chance to sing or enjoy. Life had never, as if there's no enjoyment at the end. And that's what life resolves, it really just, it boils down to. Is that we have to think about it for ourselves, you know. What happens when we leave this world? You know, like what happens when we go? As if we never even existed, you know, as if we were never even here. Who remembers us? What will be there for us? You know, who will speak about us, you know? All will happen is what we did something in life and Allah Ta'ala will pay us back for whatever we've done in life. This is a reminder for everyone. But if the believers continue to live on and they live on with Allah Ta'ala's mercy, they'll continue to live really. They'll live in this life and Allah Ta'ala will never forget them, right? Allah never forgets. So when a person lives as a believer to Allah, they're never forgotten. You know, no matter what century or no matter what generation they were, Allah Ta'ala will speak to them on the Day of Judgment as if they were the most important, special person in the world and tell them that you are the reason, mashallah, you are an amazing person. You are an extraordinary individual. Okay, and that was the point of the first part. Allah talked about the believers first because He wanted to remind us that don't worry, the second part is not for you. This is for everyone else who's still rejecting the message and being stubborn and rude about it. This is the end for everyone. What is the end? Ala inna Thamud kafaru rabbahum. Take heed, the people of Thamud disbelieved in their Lord. Ala bu'dan li Thamud. Ruined and banished are the people of Thamud. Banished. Get out of my kingdom, Allah Ta'ala says. There's no more love for you, no more compassion, no more mercy. The king has said, you're no longer in my kingdom. Now you look at the people of Ad, they're no longer here. Look at the people of Thamud. Allah Ta'ala left their ruins for people to see. And he left it as a reminder for everyone that if you go there, make tawbah and istighfar and say, Allah, forgive us and allow us to become people that follow the right way and become the people of truth. Even if no one likes us or no one cares for us afterwards, Allah will care for us. Ask Allah for tawfiq and guidance. Tomorrow's lesson, inshallah, will be slightly different. It's going to shift to another prophet, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the discussion is slightly different. And we'll talk about it, inshallah. And may Allah give us tawfiq and understanding to implement these things in our lives and allow us to convey it to other people, inshallah ta'ala. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين جزاكم الله خيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته